There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next couple of hours, and hopefully it'll get better as it goes on. Right now, does it sound funny? So the whole right side of the face is numb. So big thank you to the folks out at Noblet Family Dental that made sure to have me numbed up before breaking out the DeWalt impact wrench and working on my teeth and doing all that, but still numb. It's okay, I guess. It sounds okay. Sound okay with Jeff? All right, we'll push through it. It's okay because I got a lot of guests on that have not had their mouths numb by the dentist this morning. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, is going to join us shortly. Also in hour number two, Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Steve Marshall, will be on. A lot to talk about with them. And also today, the last day to get registered to vote. This is the deadline. This is the day we've been talking about all this time. It is here, your last day to register to vote for the general election. And that's coming up November 3rd. So, by the way, too, and maybe we'll talk about it more in the second hour. We'll talk about it some with Todd Stacey coming up. But I know that looks at the news story, and then my buddy Dan Brennan said that he saw a bunch of people in line as well over the weekend. They did the absentee ballot in-person voting. I know that sounds strange, but it was like if you're worried about how to fill out the absentee ballot, it was an in-person absentee voting event that happened at the probate court in Mobile County on Saturday. And the story here, it says, my man John Sharp said, where was it? Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, so John said, oh, is that the right story? Oh, there it is. John writes that hundreds of people were denied an opportunity to vote in person and absentee in Mobile County on Saturday after the doors to the Government Street Annex building were closed to the public at 1 p.m. as scheduled. So it gets reported elsewhere like they shut people out, but they already said that the absentee voting event was going to be from 9 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon, and they said they... shut it down at 1 o'clock as they planned to. And some of that discussion happened over the last, I guess it was last hour, beginning of last hour with Jeff Poore, and Jeff was on his discussion with Secretary of State John Merrill about that. But that was the event for Mobile County, 9 to 1, and they shut it down. People are saying there's, you know, some denial here. What was the headline? Mobile County voters frustrated over their inability to cast absentee ballots on Saturday. Did you go because you want to do that absentee in-person thing? Did you get denied? I'd like to get a story, like a firsthand account of what that was like. Did they tell you, like, oh, yeah, you'll be fine. Oh, by the way, we're shutting it down at 1. Or as the stories go and the press release goes, they said pretty clearly it was from 9 to 1. So I don't know. I mean, was it like a big surprise all of a sudden, or was it just people showed up? Not at 9, showed up at like 12:55 or something, expect to do it. I'd like to know that. But what does that mean, the long line of people that are going to do absentee? Because if you're in a long line, let me say this. If you are absentee voting because of fears of coronavirus or COVID, right? If that's your fear, we've talked about that before, that the Secretary of State's office is very lenient on your reason for absentee voting. You know, you could say a health condition, and that health condition could be fear of getting coronavirus when you go to the polls. Okay. If that's the reason you were going to absentee vote, and you stood in this line, and I've seen some of the pictures and some of the video there, a line with a bunch of other people where you're not 6 feet apart from each other, waiting to get in to absentee vote in person to avoid being around other people on election day. What was accomplished there, right? If that's the big push, if that's the big surge in these numbers of folks that are wanting to absentee vote, then why do you go stand in a line and then go into the annex there and get around a bunch of other people to not be around people on election day? Now, if you're traveling or you've got some other issue or something like that, you can't be there. I get it. It just seems, maybe somebody who is there in person can help me understand this, but if your push for absentee voting was to keep yourself away from other people because of fears over contracting COVID, what exactly did you accomplish on Saturday? Help me with that. Also, on our Facebook page, we have dueling poll questions up. One poll question on the website, but on our Facebook page, Leanna has fired this one up. Our discussion from last week about Bayfest, it's back. If the city of Mobile brings back Bayfest, would you attend? Yes or no? You can vote online, front page of FMTalk1065.com. Plus, we'll talk more about our Halloween pet pick of the week, too, when we return. All right, Todd Stacy next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
All right, 12:15, FM Talk 1065 and Midday Mobile. Yeah, getting some texts on that. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll read these texts in a little bit here, too, and I want to bounce that same question I talked about a second ago off my buddy Todd Stacy, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And, Todd, if I sound funny, I got one whole side of the face that's numb still from they had to put me up on the rack and work on a tooth, and they brought in, like, a DeWalt impact wrench and a blowtorch and stuff. But it's good now. We're good now. They treated me right. So, all right, I was asking this question a second ago, and we're going to get into all the stuff that's in today's email and from over the weekend. But if, like, Mobile had an event on Saturday, and it was from 9 to 1, and it was kind of like a, you know, if you're going to absentee vote, you haven't done this before, it's kind of like a workshop. You could go in and, you know, ask questions or be, so your absentee vote workshop is what it was. And I know there's a lot more people that are absentee voting, and I'm sure a lot of them are because of concerns over coronavirus and they don't want to be at the polling place. But if you went and stood in a big old line full of people, and I'm looking at the pictures and video, and you're not 6 foot distance, and then you go inside a building and stand with the ombudsman who's going to help you with this stuff, have you accomplished anything here by early voting absentee?
Yeah, I see your point. If that's your reason for voting absentee is to avoid big, you know, crowds because of virus concerns. So yeah, it may not make a whole lot of sense to go stand around a bunch of people and absentee vote. At the same time, you know, I know a lot of people who do absentee voting and probably would do early voting just to avoid the hassle on election day. It's easier to vote on a Saturday for some people than it could be on a Tuesday. So maybe that's it. But yeah, if the virus is your concern, then a crowd's a crowd.
Yeah, I did. That's why I thought, well, I'll say this. That's the reason for the big increase. Yes, there are plenty of people still absentee voting because they're out of town or, what, you know, go down the list. But the big increases across the state, I mean, it's got to be based on somebody who doesn't want to do it or is taking advantage of the more lenient rules for absentee. But
yeah, and look, it's important that everybody gets to vote. I mean, we've been talking about this absentee situation since March, really, when they postponed the election the first time. So, I mean, I get why it's important. At the same time, I absentee voted a lot when I was living in Washington, D.C., and just never had an issue. It was really the easiest thing to do. And they've even relaxed some of those rules, right? You don't have to have a notary or, you know, a witness or something. So, I mean, it's very important that people follow the rules and understand the requirements and are able to vote. But, man, this isn't that hard.
It isn't. That seems like an easier one to understand. But your leadoff story in the email today from Alabama Daily News is one that I think takes some discussion here. And it's about SB 9, right? A bill that would change school funding to help growing systems. First of all, I guess let's go back and enlighten everybody. How do we fund? Where's the mechanism? Where's the pathway for the money that funds the school system now?
Well, from the state perspective, a lot of that is income tax, right? That is turned around and funded through the legislature, but sent back to the schools. Of course, a lot of local money comes from property tax and most of the time it's property tax. However, locals want to fund their local schools. But the reason for this bill is right now, currently, the way that money is allocated, say, all right, we've got this much money, we've got this pie of money to hand out this year. We're going to base it off of last school year's enrollment numbers. And that's just the way they've done it for forever. And so Chris Elliott, you know, senator from Baldwin County, has said, well, that doesn't make any sense, and that actually it hurts places like Baldwin County that are growing, mm-hmm. and other places like, you know, Hoover and up in Huntsville and Madison, Auburn, these really growing areas, because by the time you get to the next school year, they're already at a funding disadvantage because they grew by 100 students or however many. So it changes that to make it forward looking, and it's actually a small change that everybody's okay with. But it was just one of those bills that it was going to pass unanimously, probably, and it got held up because of COVID.
Okay, so the school districts, it would, I guess, there's no, would they give projected enrollment? So if they're going to get, right, funding for what it, because the fiscal year, I mean, the legislative session ends in the spring. Right, and then you don't know. I mean, how does that work? I mean, does the school system say we think we're going to have this many people in? Because sometimes there's kids who just move to town late, or switch school districts, or a house sells. Right, that they're now in that school district, and they didn't know that at the end of I don't know whatever the school year is. They didn't know it at the end of May.
Yeah, and they're not going to know down to the individual student. What they do is take the last 2 years of growth and say, okay, based on these 2 years, we can project that you're probably going to grow by an average of this, and that is your projected growth for next year, or projected loss. But in any case, if you've grown for the last 2 years, chances are you're probably in a growth spurt. You know, you're in a growing area, so they're going to take those 2 years to project how much you're probably going to grow this year. So yeah, it's a projection for sure.
All right, let's talk about things in the future, but not too far away too. You have another story here that I'm trying to make sure that we're squared away here. What is the deal here? So it's businesses have to reapply for your tax license before 2021.
Yeah, this is one that kind of caught everybody off guard. We got word on this from a tax attorney friend of ours who has said that the Alabama Department of Revenue they changed some rules. They changed some internal rules about how taxes apply to businesses. And if you have you have certain business licenses within the department, you're going to be required to basically reapply for those or resubmit the paperwork to make sure all the, you know, P's and Q's are matching and everything. And so you're right, Sean. I'm not sure if my business qualifies.
Right. This is a scary thing when I see this, right? I'm like, does this apply to us? Or
yeah, and I'm sure they're going to send out notices and things like that. But I'm going to go today, actually, to the Department of Revenue website to make sure that I'm squared away and that if I need to reapply, because the last thing I want is a penalty. And so, I mean, the state says, hey, this is pretty normal. This thing happens all the time. This is just a typical change, and it needed to happen because of, you know, they have some reasons why. But Bruce Ely, who's a tax attorney for Bradley Arendt, probably one of the biggest experts on state tax law, said, hey, this kind of caught folks off guard, and people that are in the industry even didn't even notice this change, you know, CPAs. So, yeah, it's one of those things that better safe than sorry. Just go ahead and ask your accountant or you know, personally go on the Department of Revenue website yourself. I'm going to do that this afternoon.
But help me here. In the reporting, y'all said annual renewal of licenses is now required, a change from previous operations. The department posted the notice on its website October 1st about the rule change and renewal requirement that was adopted in February. I mean, October 1st is when we get to find. I know it's the start of the new fiscal year, but how about some heads up? If we're going to have to get this done by 2021, that gives us like 3 months here if we'd have been looking at the site October 1st, right?
Yeah, and I'm curious as
to... That's going to stick a lot of businesses, man. They're not sitting every day looking at what Alabama Department of Revenue is popping up. You know, they're busy
doing whatever they do
for a living.
And we wouldn't even be having this conversation if we didn't get a tip from a tax attorney who really gets it. You know what I mean?
No, you're saving a lot of people's hides putting this information out, but I'm just frustrated that if Alabama Daily News didn't report this or people weren't checking the website, they'd have gotten gigged on this.
I agree. I'm curious if the department had any plans whatsoever to publicize this rule, to tell people. I mean, maybe one of those things that you get a, you know, if the way I pay my taxes is online and they send you little messages online, but you know, I don't check that every day. And I really rarely check it, maybe only around the time I pay my taxes. So that to me would be a poor way to communicate this this rule change. So that's why we ran the story. We got this tip and it's like, okay, the state is saying it's not a big deal and it's not going to hurt anybody, but I mean,
wait, but
that's exactly how, I mean, you get a tax penalty and don't know about it, or you
have your license canceled in 2021. Right. To me, that's a problem.
Yeah, so it's one of those things you might want to be looking up on this. That's why we ran the story.
I got some people on the text line are saying I got an email from them a couple weeks ago letting me know, and I didn't.
That's good to hear.
But the problem is I didn't. How am I on the And this person who texted, that's great. I'm happy for you, but I must not be on the right list or something. This scares a lot of small business owners, you know, who are so... It's not like they have a department, right? An accounting department that are working these issues. They're so busy trying to do whatever they do to try to navigate this, you know, change here and not get a heads up. That's not good.
Oh, look, I can attest that starting a small business is challenging enough without having to, you know, navigate all the paperwork and everything. I mean, I have to say, I thought there was going to be more complications than there were from the state in terms of, okay, you got to file with the Secretary of State, you got to file with Revenue, you got to pay your business privilege tax, which is the funniest name tax in my book. But it does make you, all of the paperwork and all of the forms and just different licenses, it makes you nervous for breaking the rules, because apparently you've signed up for this, you know, labyrinth of paperwork and requirements and regulations, and so it just makes you a little antsy. And to say nothing of this, the tax that the federal government charges self-employed individuals. So, yeah, I feel you, and that's why when we got this tip, we said, you know, the state is saying it's not a big deal, but let's get this story out there and put it high up, because the last thing we want is for is for small business owners like me to be left in the lurch.
Yeah, the attorney you're quoting here, the Zeely, said every one of those licenses automatically expires at midnight on December 31st. I mean, that's a real deadline. That's a real thing. It's an expired license. I think that would be.
I don't think that applies to me, because I don't have a particular license with the Department of Revenue.
This is not just a business license, which is local. This is a tax license, right?
Right. I mean, this is if you are licensed by the state for something, that pertains to the Department of Revenue. So I mean, I don't, and they wouldn't tell us. We asked, okay, how many businesses does this apply to? They say, well, we can't tell you. We don't know. So,
good luck.
It's pretty vague, honestly. It's not as if every small business is going to lose their accreditation or something like that. But if you are licensed through the Department of Revenue somehow, you're going to need to renew your license and do it before the end of the year.
All right, coming right back, more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We'll talk about getting his fantastic email in your inbox 6 days a week and a lot more stories. We'll talk about some national politics as well as we get closer. And the question that I asked earlier of y'all, and I'm going to ask it of Todd too, that what do you think? Strategically, I don't know. I'd just like to, am I just stirring things up maybe? But if... You know, the machine has been kicking out the messaging that there's just no way President Trump can win re-election. If you believe that is true, would it be better, even with the idea that he may take a position in the Biden administration, would we be better off with a Democrat senator in the mix if there was a Democrat president, especially one that's so close to Biden? If you're playing this pragmatically and not idealistically, we'll talk to Todd about that and some more when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. A lot of great texts coming in here. This one said, hey, Sean, I can tell you firsthand, as I headed towards Causeway mid-morning, this would be on Saturday, it looked to me like there were more protesters from Black Lives Matter and pro-life advocates than there were people standing in line to vote absentee. Not saying that people would take advantage of a situation like that. Of course not. I just saw the pictures of the line, so maybe some of them were protesters and not people waiting. But either way, if you're going to get help on absentee because you didn't want to be around a bunch of people on election day because you had some concern of COVID, and then you got in line with a bunch of people, it's a strange thing. All right, continue our conversation with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, and the email. Todd, tell folks how to get that email blast.
Oh, it's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage where you can get all your daily news. But you're going to want the email because it comes in the morning, first thing, and we'll give you just a rundown of all the day's news. It's easy to digest. Front pages from around the state, headlines from all the publications. Click subscribe at the top of the page, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
People upset with my question there about Doug Jones, you know, maybe because I've talked about the very unscientific yard sign poll, at least in my neighborhood, and how many signs I've seen for Doug Jones. Not Biden-Harris, not many, but Doug Jones. And I've finally seen some Doug Jones signs along with Republican signs in the yard, a mixed bag. And there's that 538 poll that shows it close. I don't think Tommy Tuberville's got this. But what if you had a scenario where Biden wins, like, you know, the mainstream media is trying to roll out today that it's a foregone conclusion. But if Biden wins, strategically, from your time in Washington, are we better off with a Democrat senator?
I understand sort of the thinking there, which is that, okay, having a friend in the White House, somebody in the delegation that can be friends with the White House, maybe we can, I don't know, benefit in some way of the state. I really don't think so. I mean, I think back to when Obama was president. I mean, you had Terry Sewell, who is, mm-hmm. I mean, his law school classmate. I mean, they went way back in terms of friendship and spent a lot of time together. I mean, she got to go to the White House and just, obviously he came to Selma for the 50th anniversary of the march. And so, a Bloody Sunday, and so it benefited her personally, and probably got to, you know, do a lot of cool things. But I wouldn't say the state got any really true benefit out of that. So I don't really think so. Plus, she's still there. Sewell's still there, and she's mm-hmm. pretty tight with Biden as well. So it is important if Biden wins, you know, he's going to be there for at least 4 years. So yeah, if you're a senator, no matter what party, you go and make those relationships. I mean, Shelby is likely to still be chairman of appropriations, if not that ranking member. So you don't just because of the president's from a different party, you don't completely wall them off. But yeah, the guys in the House are probably going to be throwing some bombs. So you probably want some peacemakers somewhere.
Yeah. Well, a question there on the Shelby thing, you just got me into that. Do you think he runs again?
You know, everybody says no. And I've got to trust folks that are in his orbit that basically say there's no chance in the world. But to me, if they're in the majority still after this election, and he's got to run again, and he's up again in 2022 and has the chance to still be appropriations chairman for another 6 years, I think he might run.
Okay. Good. I like the
minority. If Democrats take over, there's no way he runs.
If Democrats take over, that'll be it.
Yeah, I mean it.
Because he won't have the cherry assignment.
That's right. And ranking member is not bad. I mean, that's pretty cool. But when Patrick Leahy's calling the shots on appropriations, he's not going to have the same kind of goodies coming home as he has for the last several years.
Good question here, not even specific to the email today, but just in general with your knowledge as a journalist and a person that's been in this for a long time. Do you think the censoring that's gone on, the social media censoring that's gone on for conservative voices, but specifically the New York Post story about Hunter Biden, do you think that censoring is now driving more people to read it? I mean, it seems to be, in my orbit, it's getting more press because it's censored.
Yeah, it's called the Streisand effect. She tried to suppress some story about her a long time ago and just invited more people to read it. So there's a little bit of that going on. So yeah, I think so. I think just more broadly, after this election's over, I think you're probably going to see some hearings and some legislation and people just looking at social media and these censorship rules that they've put in place. It's really crazy. It's certainly not indicative of a free and open society. And yet, those are the areas, those are the places online where misinformation and propaganda, things like that, some of which could originate outside of our country, that's where it is. So I understand them needing to be careful about Russia or China or, you know, things like that. But man, they're throwing up, straight up censoring someone.
Yep.
From sharing a link. That's pretty crazy. So I think it goes beyond just this election. We're going to be talking about this for a while.
Well, and yeah, I'm torn because they are private businesses, you know, or publicly traded, but they're not even NGOs, right? They're just businesses, so they can do what they want. And the flip side is, people always say, conservatives can start other platforms, and they have, not been successful. The same way, straight liberal voices have not been successful in talk radio. They tried it. Maybe there's something to say for the fact that there's not enough support, I guess, for other platforms that don't do this, and then you have, I don't know what drives it.
And yeah, there's this Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri who had this legislation a couple of years ago, basically kind of cracking down on Twitter and Facebook, and everybody was up in arms saying, hey, this is censorship, you're trying to have some free speech issues with it. And a lot more people are starting to take a look, saying, well, maybe he's got a point. And his point was that social media, Facebook and Twitter specifically, has basically been given the airwaves in the same way that television networks were 60, 70 years ago, and that there's a responsibility that comes with that. If you are the place where information is shared and disseminated, then you have a responsibility to act right. So I don't know what the balance is there. I'm certainly on the free speech side of things and always will be. But there's a lot of questions as you know. I mean, it's not just as easy. It's not black and white an issue.
Yeah, I just wonder if they don't suffer monetarily from limiting voices. Obviously, it hadn't been enough to make them go, well, maybe we shouldn't do that. Somehow their internal politics are more important than the bottom line, I guess, or maybe the bottom line is benefited by that censoring.
Yeah, and you're right about it driving people to the story. And plus, I don't know, every time you do that, and every time it's a big story that you have censored something, I mean, they've got to explain themselves. They've got to say how it affects or how it adheres to their policy. Are they changing their policy? It's really just a kind of a vicious cycle. And so I'm curious. I don't think anything's going to change between now and the election, but I'm curious after the election whether, just like 4 years ago, I mean, a lot of stuff we looked back on and said, oh, okay, that didn't smell right. Same thing's going to happen this time around.
Speaking of after the election, so let's talk about that. Something you and I bounced around during a commercial break. I have a feeling that no matter what result happens, and if we get it that night or the next day or whatever, that there's going to be, the other side is going to be upset no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, big-time upset, like beyond normal, like out in the streets upset.
Well, yes, I think so. I mean, I think it's pretty clear, and I try really hard to be fair, but the way that, let's just say Trump wins. It's pretty clear on election night that Trump wins. I would be amazed if there weren't demonstrations and downright riots in many cities, partly because we've been conditioned and really taught over the last year that that's okay. That's what the message has been sent, whether you like the protests or not, that it's okay to go out in the streets and beat on cops and
it's going to be tolerated in a lot of places.
Yeah, that's the message that's been sent. Now, I mean, the other way, it would stand to reason. I think folks might, but the Trump voter is not necessarily the rally in the street type. They're more rally in the stadium type. So I don't know if there would be demonstrations. I know that Trump himself will not concede very easily. It would probably have to be a very wide margin of victory for Biden, for Trump to say, you know, soon that he's going to call it a day and concede. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a political, you know, I'm just an animal. I love politics, always have, all my life. But it has me honestly not looking forward to election night just because I'm nervous about it. I'm nervous about how our country's going to handle it. Maybe we'll figure out how to be adults and, you know, just handle it maturely, but something tells me there may be some acting out.
I mean, what do you think timeline is on this? Because you think it'll be we haven't gotten to count bail-ins or, you know, this or that. I mean, what kind of excuses should we, the people, expect to hear on election night or the next day?
Well, the first one, of course, is absentee ballots. We know that a lot more people are mailing in their ballots. In some states, that's going to take a while to really sift through. In Alabama, we can't even start counting those ballots until Election Day. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, even though folks have been...
Merrill says it'll be done. He says it'll all be done that day.
I have no... You know, he's been pretty much on top of it the whole time he's been in office. I think they'll be fine. But some states are going to get... I mean, can you imagine getting a couple of million ballots on Election Day and you've got to go through and you know, take them out, fold them, or unfold them, and figure out who voted and put them through the machine. It could be a challenge. So that's number one, is, you know, have the absentee ballots been counted? And it's going to be a tough thing for the people that sort of call these races to do, to say, okay, if Trump is up in Florida, is he up by so much that even the influx of absentee votes and the expected percentage of those votes, would that ever be enough for Biden? So in that way, I think Trump would have to win Florida pretty significantly for them to call it early on election night.
There we go. All right. To get more of what Todd's talking about with his email, once again, they go where to sign up?
ALDailyNews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe at the top of the page. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
Todd, as always, I appreciate our time together.
All right, man. Be good.
Will do. Todd Stacy. And we're coming right back. I like this text here. You see that, Dalton? When Trump wins, the riots in the streets will be short-lived. The previous protests have left nothing to burn in November. All right. We'll be right back. News next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Talked to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM, and we always talk inventory, but on occasion, Larry, we've talked about these commercial vehicles, and I've seen commercial vehicles around town with y'all's logo on them, so obviously pretty darn popular.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we've decided to dedicate a corner of our lot to the commercial trucks and call it our commercial corner, so we got six of them out there right now, but we're looking for more. You know, we got diesels, we got gas, we got, 450s, 550s, 3500s, and we got what we call superintendent trucks. We got a lot of trucks that a lot of the commercial people want to put their superintendents in.
I like that. And that's the thing. You'll have, when you say commercial trucks, you have, I mean, you have big diesels we're always talking about for, you know, anybody who needs to haul stuff, but you got specific specialty vehicles, so somebody's got to come take a look.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as a matter of fact, we just got one, and it's a 2018 F-150 with, it's 2019 with 15,000 miles on it.
All right. I like that. Give us directions to come check out all the inventory at LCM.
Highway 90 at Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. Coolest commercial vehicle. What do you think, Dalton? Coolest commercial? I mean, like, boom trucks are cool. I'd like to have, you know, when you go, man, if I can have one of those, I could do some pro. Boom truck is cool. The trucks that can run on the tracks, the ones, you know, folks like CSX folks and railroad folks have, you know, you've got the regular trucks, and then they have the steel wheels there to be able to get on the tracks. Envious of those. I don't think it would get me in trouble. I don't think I need that option, but the boom truck, you know, you're like, man, if I had that boom truck, if I had it for a weekend, you know how much stuff I could get done? I'm the only person that said, okay. That's just a thing I say. Oh, well. From the text line here, a lot of text here. Somebody wondering what signs are in my yard because I asked the question about Doug Jones. And my job is to ask questions. That doesn't mean, and first of all, there's never been a sign in my yard. I don't think I've ever had any kind of sign in my yard. No, Lisa's asking how to spell my name to write. You're not, quit writing in my name on the ballot. That don't confuse things. You wasted your vote on Sullivan, sure. Yeah, there's a group of frontline doctors are on the federal steps of the White House. Federal steps of the White House. Dalton, can you check into that? Federal steps, I don't know where the federal steps are on the White House. Telling everyone that masks don't work and we are being lied to and on how to treat the flu bug. Okay, well, somebody look into that. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the Republican National Committee and their efforts in the presidential election? Are they behind Trump 100%? Are they more concerned with keeping control of the Senate and the Supreme Court, which is also extremely important? You know, I don't know how the article came out, I think, over the weekend of kind of the loyalty count for President Trump. You know, is it, like, let's talk about this. You said RNC, but let's move it to Mitch McConnell for a second, for unnamed texter here. I think Mitch McConnell's game is Senate first. Obviously, I know because he's in there, but Senate first because he sees the longevity in that versus the presidential cycle. And not meaning that he is not supportive of President Trump, but if he had to have a triage list of where his efforts are, I would imagine they would be on the Senate more. And then, of course, its value for Supreme Court confirmation for going forward. So maybe. There are some people that have jumped ship. You know, that was the article over the weekend for President Trump. There's some that have been jumped ship a long time ago. I don't know. I still think if you look at 2016 and you think, oh, well, the polls say this, and then you forget to go back to 2016 and see what the polls say, I think it may be not the blowout that the mainstream media over the weekend thought about for Joe Biden. But I'm always taking in new facts.
Yeah.
Not a lot of Biden-Harris signs in town. Definitely more Trump-Pence signs. Yeah. But the Doug Jones thing, yeah. I'm just talking about what I see. That's all I'm doing. All right, coming up in just a few minutes, Attorney General of the state of Alabama, Steve Marshall, joins us. Lots to talk about with him after those census numbers came in at 99.9%. We'll talk about that.